Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is the time of year where you start hearing a lot of those year-in-review type segments. And to be perfectly honest, we're going to have some too, but this year we're doing it a bit differently. Rather than jamming in every topic under the sun into one conversation, we're going to go deeper and a bit more thoughtful. So from now until New Year's Eve, we'll look at individual aspects of 2015, such as the year in Bay State politics, in medicine, religion, the arts, criminal justice, and sports, where we will start today, because there have been a lot of stories in Massachusetts sports from some of the biggest.
I didn't alter the ball in any way. I don't want anyone rubbing them, putting any air in them, taking any air out.
To the stories that weren't as widely covered, like the story of Harriet Thompson, who at age 92 became the oldest woman ever to finish a marathon.
I'm amazed that they're interested. I just feel I don't deserve this, but I'm enjoying it.
Well, joining me now to look back at the year in sports is Shira Springer, investigative reporter for the sports section of The Globe. Hi there, Shira.
Hello. Oh, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Okay, so let's start with Deflategate. We heard Tom Brady there earlier. Your thought on that? I mean,
the
story that never ends, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was the sports story that really took over the year in Boston sports. It started on January 18th at the AFC Championship game when the Patriots were accused of using deflated balls, and it continued all the way until September 3rd when a U.S. district judge, I believe it was Judge Richard Berman, ruled that basically Goodell was guilty of dispensing his own brand of industrial style justice. Mm-hmm. And that he had overstepped his bounds with a 4-game suspension of Tom Brady and said, hey, Tom Brady will be there opening night.
Okay. So, I mean, this was a massive story that ballooned into, questions of due process from the NFL, the NFL's, management. And, of course, there's always the endless stories about the Patriots themselves and do they cheat or didn't they cheat or when do they not cheat? I mean, it just kind of...
And is it cheating or is it just pushing the boundaries of the rules and when is that okay? Okay and not okay.
Okay, so we've got some tape here. I'm going to play it right now. This is New England coach Bill Belichick making a reference to the movie My Cousin Vinny.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in footballs. I'm not an expert in football measurements. I'm just telling you what I know. Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world, as she was in the car expertise area.
Okay, that quote gets my vote for best quote of the year. And the fact that it's Bill Belichick saying it is shocking because he is known for being such a sort of even-keeled, give-you-nothing quote in his press conferences. But, I mean, that was one of the great things about Deflategate, which was it gave us a lot of great press conferences with some very entertaining comments. Everything from Tom Brady talking about how he likes his footballs prepared and doesn't like his footballs prepared, to Kraft sort of saying he was, supported what the league did, then saying he didn't like what the league did. I mean, there was so many press conferences, so many public comments. It was just a real insight into the psychology of all the players involved that you don't get.
Right. And maybe the fact that it took 9 months to resolve itself is one of those reasons.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's move on to another ginormous story, if I can say that, for Massachusetts sports this year. And that has to do with Boston's failed Olympic bid, Boston 2024. I want to start with a little march back in time. This is a tape from Richard Davey, who came on Radio Boston to speak with us back in February and said at that time that, hey, Boston, don't worry. The Olympics would not present a cost to the Massachusetts taxpayer.
It's not going to cost the taxpayers of Boston anything. Most of the games, Salt Lake, LA, and Atlanta in particular, have turned net revenue. They've had a surplus at the end.
Fast forward several months, and here's Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, who initially was in favor of holding the Olympics in Boston, until he said he wouldn't support the bid because it might mean asking taxpayers to cover cost overruns.
I refuse to mortgage the future of the city away. I refuse to put Boston on the hook for overruns. And I refuse to commit to signing a guarantee that uses taxpayers' dollars to pay for the Olympics.
Rest in peace, Boston 2024. Shira, your take on this story.
Well, I think Boston is sort of setting the standard and is perhaps a trendsetter when it comes to turning down the Olympics. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we see another city drop out of the 2024 bidding. I think Boston was smart. It allowed the democratic process to play out in the end. People should have a say in whether their city host the Olympic Games or not. And don't let anybody tell you that these won't cost the taxpayers. They are incredibly costly events. There are all these hidden costs that come up later once you've been awarded the Games that you don't anticipate. And that has happened at every single Olympic Games. And people should go in with their eyes wide open. Cities should go in with their eyes wide open. And you can't just spring it on a place.
Well, you know, the long conversation, debate, et cetera, over Boston 2024, I mean, it was so interesting to me because, yeah, there were real numbers and real issues involved here. But there was also, you know, like Boston 2024 supporters oftentimes said, hey, there's also this old Boston that we want to get past. You know, don't be the parochial NIMBYs that, you know, we can be. I mean, that was an accusation that they put out there. Do you think that was a fair part of the story?
Yeah, I think that was a fair part of the story. I mean, don't always say no, no, no. Don't have this culture of no in the city. It was fair to say that, but I think it was a more accurate. I think the no Boston people had a more accurate point about this needs to be a transparent process, and it wasn't a transparent process. I think you would have had a lot less NIMBY attitude if it was more transparent from the start and was more inclusive, you know, in terms of the decision making with the communities that were going to be affected. When you talk about having beach volleyball on the Boston Common, you had to talk to the people perhaps who were caretakers of the common. When you are talking about putting other events, you know, in the Boston Harbor, you have to talk about with the people who are going to be affected. Now, I understand there wasn't a lot of lead-up time to do that, but that should have been part of the process early on. The organizers and the leaders of the bid shouldn't have assumed cooperation that everybody would be yay, rah, rah from the start.
Well, we just had a Harvard Business School professor on before you, and I'm thinking this is going to be a Harvard Business School case one of these days, like how to get stakeholders on board, like talk to the universities you say you're going to partner with before putting them on paper saying they're in agreement. And
they're going to host 7 events.
Right.
You know?
Not even having started the conversation with them. And I was also thought it was interesting that when he was named co-Bostonian of the year, John Fish said the thing he learned, he told the Globe, the thing that he learned in the process is that democracy matters. So I'm glad that he learned that.
Yeah, he probably should have had that understanding before he started that process.
So let's move on to another big and very important Bostonian who made news in the sports world this year, and that is David Ortiz announcing his retirement from the Red Sox on his 40th birthday.
I wish I can play another 40 years, so I have you guys behind me, but it doesn't work that way. And after next year, time is up, so let's enjoy next season.
Come on, Shira. Can we imagine the Sox without Ortiz, without Big Poppy?
It'll be tough, but I think it'll be a nice long farewell for Big Poppy in 2016. I mean, he's going to be feted, I hope, from ballpark to ballpark, and especially at Fenway. It's going to drive up ticket sales, which the Red Sox will like. But I think it's also going to be an opportunity to reflect on all that he's done and meant to this city. I mean, he has really been the face of this franchise pretty much since he arrived in 2003. I mean, I think no one will forget his comments after the Boston Marathon, where he strongly supported the city and said, this is our bleeping city.
Yeah. Well, we've got about a minute left to go, Shira. And before we go, we played a little bit of tape earlier when we first started this segment that I want to ask you about, because it's your favorite quirky story in sports, that of Harriet Thompson, a 92-year-old Marathon finisher?
Yes. This is one of my favorite stories and certainly my favorite quirky story of the year. This is a woman who at 92 finished a marathon in 7 hours, 24 minutes, and 36 seconds for all those trying to do the math at home at 16:59 per mile pace. And just an incredible accomplishment. She's a cancer survivor and a concert pianist. And I just love the fact that she's out there doing it. And, you know, she said before the race she didn't think she would finish. She sort of walk-jogged part of it and more intensely jogged other parts of it. But she did it. And I just love the example that she sets for all those people. I believe it was her 16th marathon. I love the example that she sets for all those people out there, you know, when it comes to sports. It's about participation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's about participation at any age.
I'm going to say that her pace is faster at the age of 90 plus is faster than I could do now at my age. Well,
you've got time.
Oh, jeez, ma'am. I think Harriet's going to beat me on even the best of my days. But Shira Springer, investigative sports reporter for the Boston Globe, helping us look back at 2015, the year in Massachusetts sports. Shira, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
I'm going to get on you about training for your marathon.
Man. Oh, gosh. Famous last words. There's more of the show in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.